Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Scott Kleinberg is our social media strategist who joins us every Tuesday at this time. This is Tuesday, isn't it? I'm trying to remember it's 2023 and not 2024. Scott, good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Good morning, Bob. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, let's talk about the resolutions for the year. We make them, we break them, and we break them because sometimes they're just too hard. But fortunately, when it comes to tech and social media, making resolutions you can stick to is relatively easy. And I know you have some tips and tricks, don't you? You've done this for years now. What have you learned over time, Scott?
Yeah, Bob, I've learned that certain resolutions really stand the test of time, and they can definitely be important, especially when it comes to technology and social media. And these resolutions, just so you know, they don't have to be done immediately, but the sooner you do them, the better.
Yeah, for sure. Let's start with reading your email and text carefully to avoid falling victim to scams.
Yeah, for sure. This is a very important one, Bob. And in my line of work, I say this over and over. When it comes to our online life, we scan. We don't read things. We just scan them. And we don't read because we don't have time to read. And we think that faster gets the job done and then we're in good shape. But what ultimately happens is when we scan, we miss very important things. And I'm talking about email. I'm talking about, you know, we miss very important things. We miss clues. We miss those little nuances. And in a particular situation like this, we might miss something that causes us to fall victim to a scam.
So you're talking about email offers and things like that, aren't you?
Exactly. Email requests to log into an account and update a credit card, that type of thing as well. Things that might include text messages with a similar ask. Remember this, Bob. A reputable company is not going to send you an email or a text message asking you to update your financial information on the spot. And just because you receive it doesn't mean you should act on it, and many of us do.
Okay, but with so many emails and texts, let's assume for a second that we do read and don't scan. How do we tell what's real and what's not? Because the scammers have gotten very sophisticated, haven't they?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And over the years, it's become harder and harder for that very reason, because they have become smarter. But there are always tells, and I can't stress enough the word always in this case. The tells could be things like language in the email, when the English sounds just a little bit off, or the sentence has extra spaces between periods, or a really good one and a must to look out for is in email. What's the originating email address? Where did the email come from? If it's for a reputable company and it comes from a Gmail address, for example, that should be your biggest red flag waving that you may be about to fall for something sinister. That's ultimately designed to get you to give up your login information and your password. And then if you have the same password on that account that you have on others, you may have just opened up so much more than you bargained for.
So let's just say that you can't tell, you read it again and again, you don't see any of the flags. Should you enter that info?
Bob, I absolutely would not. And I know we said earlier that we're all busy, and believe me, I get that. But in that situation that you're speaking of, even if I have the slightest bit of doubt, I want to contact the company by phone, or I want to log into my account, and I want to check the settings that might indicate any notices telling me that there's an issue. I would much rather take 5 or 10 minutes at that time to call the company and inquire than deal with the hardships that come with making the wrong decision.
And I remember this from a previous conversation. When you say contact by phone, you mean to simply call and ask, right?
I do. I mean an actual call to customer service using the number on the actual website, not on the email you just received. Because with something as simple as, if you call with something as simple as, I received an email saying I need to update my credit card info. I'm not sure if this is legitimate, and I'd like to know for sure before taking any action. Can you tell me if I need to do anything? That way, Bob, you know for sure. And that extra bit of work, it could have just saved you a lot of heartache. And to finish this thought, let me say this. Reputable companies should never put a customer in such a precarious position. Now, does it happen? Sure. But 9 times out of 10, those emails you receive, and especially those texts, they're scams.
Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Let's talk about social media safety tips, Scott.
Yeah, sure. So, Bob, this one is wide-reaching by design. There are ways that we as a society can work together to make social media better, safer for ourselves and for everyone else. So when you see something that violates the rules on your favorite social platform, you should report it. And I have said this since day one. I do believe that we all have a shared responsibility to make the platforms we use better. And even if we don't see any direct actions from our reports, every time we feed information into that platform's algorithm, we make a difference. And the only tangible way that we can make social media safer is by preventing others from making it unsafe. So by training ourselves in the form of a New Year's resolution to always report the bad stuff, that's ultimately going to be good for us all.
Mm-hmm. And let's finish here with passwords. We've talked a lot about that in the past, but based on what we've been talking about today, obviously it's so important, isn't it?
It really is important, Bob. And we said earlier that if you fall victim to a scam and you end up sharing a password with another, you know, with another account, that's a big problem. But if you reuse the passwords, which means you have the same passwords on multiple websites, you just increase your problem exponentially. I always say this, and I'll say it again. Your Netflix password should not be the same as your credit card password for any reason. And your password should not be simple to guess and remember. One good thing is that websites nowadays, they have better requirements for what passes as a secure password. But even those systems aren't foolproof. You can still have the password, for example, baseball12345 6 exclamation point and satisfy that requirement. But like we said earlier, scammers get smarter, right? They know your tricks because they're good at what they do.
And as you've said before, passwords are not about convenience, are they?
Not at all. They are about security, first and foremost. And the good news is that most modern phones and browsers, they already have a password manager built in. So you can actually save a strong password, and your device will automatically fill it in for you when you need it. So you should please, you know, take advantage of that. And you may think that you'll never fall victim to a scam, but we all say that until it actually happens to us.
Right. And I know you have one final tip for us, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I know it sounds cliche, but please use common sense when it comes to this stuff. If you aren't sure, don't take the risk. So to expand on what I said a few minutes ago, don't assume that you're too unimportant and that a scammer is never going to target you. Remember, scammers are looking for the easy way in, and by following these tips and tricks, you can make sure that you don't open the door for them.
Do you use the password manager that comes with your phone? Is that what you prefer?
I do. It is what I prefer. It automatically suggests a strong password so you don't even have to create one, and then it offers to fill it in for you every time you need to use it. So there's no way that I'm never reusing passwords, and there's no way that anybody is going to guess them, and it's going to automatically fill in when I need it. And because it's on my iPhone, it crosses over to my iPad, to my computer, to everything I need.
So that solves the problem we all have. Too many passwords, we can't remember any of them.
Exactly. There's no reason to even ever enter anything manually, because if it's going to create one for you, let it do its magic, create it for you, and then you're all set.
Let's get to our Genius Bar question. I know a lot of folks got new phones for Christmas, and this question has come up. The Find My app, what do we need to know about setting it up? And also, I have a question about what you do if it's not just misplaced, but stolen. Talk to us about Find My.
Well, the Find My app is a wonderful thing. Anybody on an iPhone who uses iCloud, Find My app is going to automatically pop up when you set up your new phone. That's the beautiful thing. When you get a new device, it's going to say, use Find My, and you should always say yes, because this basically keeps your physical device safe. Like the other stuff we're talking about with the password manager keeping your website safe, this keeps your actual physical device safe. So it will show you on a map where your device was last found. Your whatever device you have, it'll show it where it is. It'll play a sound. Let's say you you put your phone or your AirPods or whatever you're using, and they fall between the cushions of the couch, and you literally have been searching and you can't find it. You can have it play a sound and it'll beep and get louder and louder and louder until you find it, and that's the magic right there. The first time you use Find My to actually find something, that's where the magic is.
Now, this came up in our family over the holidays. Yep. My stepson had his phone stolen, and on that Find My app, the location was revealed. But I gather from talking to police that you shouldn't be knocking on doors to get your stolen phone back, should you?
No. Never knock on doors. That's going to be obviously very, very unsafe. The beautiful thing about the Find My app is that it has multiple things you could do at that particular point. For example, you can put it in lost mode. Lost mode will prevent most of the things from being accessible. And you can even put a message on it that says, hey, you, I know you stole my phone. I'm going to call the police. You could put that on your phone. It'll pop up and that person will see it. But even better, you can erase your entire phone from wherever you are. You hit the erase button and everything in there erases, and the phone basically goes back to its original state when you took it out of the box. But the great thing is, if you get that phone back, you can put everything back on it. If you don't get that phone back, that phone is useless to that person, at least with your data, and then you can just download it from the cloud for your new phone. So you have so many options, and it starts with turning on that app, which should be by default when you open up that new present.
Really interesting. I didn't know about all those options. Well, that's why we call this the Genius Bar. Scott Kleinberg, thank you. Have a great one.
You too, Bob. Take care.